Welcome back to Insights for Health. We're continuing our conversation with constitutional lawyer Sean Buckley.
And one thing I didn't say about the self-care framework is the cost recovery, and you can go to Health Canada's website on cost recovery. They're very clear, and they're very clear in the Canada Gazette notice. They're going to use the fees to create a new enforcement arm to ensure that these stricter regulations on natural health products are enforced and actively go out in the marketplace and make sure that there's no public truthful health information about natural health products other than the approved Health Canada label claim. So they're actually going to be enforcing this censorship, and we're seeing it in real time with companies like True Hope, which can't withstand these new fines and now are having to take down truthful health information. So you are going to be in a chemical drug cage. Part of the framework is well, let's actually reduce the regulatory burden for the chemical over-the-counter drugs, you know, so for your Tylenol. It's not things you'd see a doctor for. Let's reduce the regulatory burden for them and make it easier to get them on the market. You know, I mentioned Tylenol. That's acetaminophen. Tylenol is just the brand name. Generic drug name is acetaminophen. Acetaminophen, taken as directed, so I'm not talking about acetaminophen where people take too much and destroy their liver. Taken as directed is considered ultra-safe, and ultra-safe means that we kill only one person per million per year. So there's 40 million Canadians now. Tylenol, taken as directed, will kill roughly 40 of us a year. So 1 year of Tylenol use taken as directed, that's more deaths than the natural health product industry. Like, there's probably 70, 80,000 products on the market again. That entire industry for all of Canadian history has not caused 40 deaths. So, and I'm just doing this to give your audience an appreciation that this industry is so tremendously safe that it's crazy. In fact, I did an access to information request, it was probably about 12 years ago, of Health Canada, saying, can you point to me every death in Canadian history caused by a natural health product as defined by the natural health product regulations, which is like it's broad. Basically, any plant or mineral or combination thereof used for therapeutic purpose as natural health product. Well, Health Canada got back to me, Dave, and basically said, look, we can't go back all of our history to 1867. But in 1965, in response to the thalidomide disaster, we set up a robust adverse reaction reporting system and database. So, you know, we for sure can tell you, we can point out all the deaths from 1965 to today caused by a natural health product. Will you amend your request to 1965? Oh, sure. I agreed. So, okay, well, they went to work scouring the adverse reaction database to point out to me every reported death caused by a natural health product since 1965. And do you know how many they came up with? Couldn't point out to a single death. Now, I have heard reports since then in the media, oh, this death, that death. I'm skeptical and haven't looked into any because politically they want to create this scent that we're in danger from natural health products and so we need ever stricter regulation. So in this discussion paper that I'm inviting all of you to go to the NHPPA site and read, 2004, a client of mine paid a risk analysis expert, Professor Ron Law, to largely using Canadian government statistics, but he looked at the other Western nations also. How risky are natural health products? And I reproduce this table at the end of this discussion paper. Well, in 2004, you know, if we need regulations to protect us from the dangers of natural health products, 2004, when there wasn't a single regulated one, when the whole industry was illegal, I mean, that had to be the Wild West. I mean, that's when we would be the most dangerous if we need regulations. So do you know that in 2004, you are 14 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to be killed by a natural health product? 14 times is so much more risk that we shouldn't even compare the two. We're being unfair to natural health products. So what are we even talking about? So this talk about, well, we need stricter regulations to protect us, it's absolutely fraud. What right, so your listeners need to ask themselves this question, what right, what privilege, what freedom do they have now that they are willing to give up to be protected from lightning? Are you willing to give up your right to choose to be treated by natural health products? Lightning is way more dangerous and you wouldn't give up a single right, a single privilege. The idea that you would be allowing yourself to be corralled into a model where the only treatments you have the right to access are chemical pharmaceutical drugs. It's a lie that we need to do this for risk. The opposite is true. People's lives are saved by this stuff. The danger is removing products. When Health Canada tells you you need to be protected from natural health products, it's absolutely crazy. And they're very creative. They pay big dollar people to come up with the messaging to manipulate us. So what's actually kind of funny is when they introduced this self-care framework in 2017, their premise is this is all snake oil. None of this works at all. And so the real danger, and they created this new meme, the real danger is failed efficacy. And as they explain, it's like, look, somebody might have a serious heart condition like heart disease. They'll go and try and solve it with a natural health product, but they're in danger. They're delaying proper treatment, and they will use the word proper treatment. So they're accessing a natural health product or products to treat heart disease. They could die or harm themselves more by delaying before they go and get proper treatment. In 1994, my first experience with natural health products and drug regulation was I was acting as legal counsel for Health Canada. They were being sued by a herbalist named Jim Strauss. Health Canada gave me permission back in 94 or 95 to talk about this because I had left the firm that I was at then and started my own firm. And this herbalist, Jim Strauss, wanted to hire me for another matter, and Health Canada was hopeful that maybe I could talk some sense into him. And I asked for, okay, let's break solicitor-client privilege on this. So I'm not breaking solicitor-client privilege. When I'm acting for Health Canada against this herbalist, he was importing herbs from the United States that were perfectly legal for him to import, but they had them seized at the border because they were trying to stop him from being a herbalist. And they described him to me as a rogue herbalist. And he was saying he could treat heart disease with his Strauss heart drops. And they would explain to me, look at how dangerous this is. And isn't this irresponsible? And Dave, I have to tell you, having like no background and no history and being told this by Health Canada, that Kool-Aid tasted really good. I mean, it was good tasting Kool-Aid, and I just bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And I go to court. He's suing the government in the wrong court. I have his case dismissed. I start my own firm. The next effort to try and shut this guy down was they got the College of Physicians and Surgeons in BC to charge him with practicing medicine without a license. Because the act in BC at the time that gave doctors the monopoly over medicine said only doctors can practice medicine. And the practice of medicine was defined so broadly as to include making treatment claims. And Jim made treatment claims. He claimed to cure heart disease. In fact, he couldn't shut up about it. He drove around in a white van covered in red letters, "We cure heart disease." What am I going to do with that? Because he's hired me to defend him. His family were traditional healers for four centuries. So for four centuries, his family had accumulated wisdom in traditional healing, and he was trained in the family business by his grandparents. So, I mean, he was a master herbalist, but he wasn't interested in that. So he had a PhD in electrical engineering. He's working as an electrical engineer for BC Hydro. He has a heart attack. He's rushed by ambulance to the hospital. They do an angiogram. He's got 100% blockage in one artery, 80% blockage in another, and they say, Jim, to live, you got to have an open-heart double bypass surgery. He doesn't like that idea. He checks himself out of the hospital. He decides, I'm going to solve my problem using my family training. He comes up with the Strauss heart drops. He cures himself. He never had a bypass surgery, and this was, you know, well before I met him, and I've seen the angiogram. Like, so he cured himself. To defend them, on the day of trial, I had five middle-class professional witnesses. These five witnesses had all had heart disease. They had all had at least one open-heart bypass surgery. One of them had had two open-heart bypass surgeries. They had all continued to have heart disease because the reason their arteries were being plugged up was not being addressed by the medical system. They all needed another open-heart bypass surgery. A couple of them were too weak to survive another open-heart bypass surgery, so the doctor sent them home to die, saying, we can't give you a surgery that's going to kill you. That's unethical. And the rest weren't willing to go through such an invasive surgery again if it was only going to buy them a short time to live. So they refused the surgery. So for all of these witnesses, the mainstream medical system was a dead end. They all come across the heart drops. They all get well. They're all working full time at the time of trial. They had all been disabled and unable to work for the longest time. I think one of them had not been able to work for 10 years. And they're all working full time at the time of trial. And you can't fake that. So it converted me. So when I was acting for Health Canada against this rogue herbalist, well, the danger is allowing some rogue herbalist to claim he can treat heart disease. Well, after I'd prepared for the trial, the truth was the exact opposite. The danger was removing people's right to choose this treatment for heart disease, especially those that the mainstream medical system was an absolute dead end. And I could have given you the names, addresses, and phone numbers of thousands of Canadians that were only alive because this rogue herbalist had this life-saving treatment on the market. And I could give you example after example where there were natural health products, the only reason they were alive. And so how can we pretend that it's okay to over-regulate these products off of the market to protect us? But let's just stick to these five witnesses. There's no dispute the medical system was a dead end for them. Well, they knew these weren't approved by Health Canada. They knew this was traditional remedies. Didn't they have the right to try? Why shouldn't the law just be you have to be perfectly honest with what information you have or don't have? Shouldn't we have the right to choose? Like, it's an interesting philosophical legal question. But Health Canada won't give us the right. They don't want us to have the right to choose because they want to drive all the products off the market.
When we return, we'll discuss what it means if our natural health products are eliminated and the actions we can take to protect our natural health products and also our rights to choose. We're continuing our conversation with constitutional lawyer Sean Buckley.
And I could use True Hope as an example of people having the right to choose to take a product, even though at the time there wasn't a lot on it. So True Hope has a product called the Empower Plus, which is, in my opinion, the most effective treatment for bipolar disorder in the world. And I base that on published studies and expert witnesses I've called in court. The company was started by a property manager and animal nutritionist. Like, those are the last two people you would think would develop the most effective treatment for bipolar disorder in the world. But the property manager's wife had severe bipolar disorder. She committed suicide because she was in that cohort, rapid cycling, very severe, where you don't last 5 years once you enter that cohort. And one of his daughters, who lived in Edmonton, she was married. They lived in southern Alberta and had severe bipolar disorder. And so she would be spending almost half of each year involuntarily committed to the psych ward. So she'd become manic and suicidal, get involuntarily committed. They would put her on a drug cocktail that would totally dope her out. And then after a couple of months, released on 24-hour suicide watch to her family. And then she would slowly get acclimatized to the new drug cocktail. And then you have what's called a breakout, where you become manic and suicidal again. And then you get involuntarily committed, and they dope you up on a new drug cocktail that you're not used to yet, and rinse and repeat. That was her life. And then he had a son who was 17 living at home. Big kid, raging, and the other kids are saying, "Dad, we're scared. You've got to institutionalize him. You've got to get him out of the house." And he's just broken. And so he's talking to David. He's having a conversation, describing Joseph's raging. And David, the animal nutritionist, stops him and says, "You know, I don't know anything about human mental health, but what you're describing, this raging, is reminding me of ear and tail biting condition in pigs where they rage. They literally tear each other apart. And we know it's a nutritional deficiency, so we supplement with vitamins and minerals. And 100% of the time, we extinguish the behavior. They get normal." And they come to this realization, well, maybe there's a nutritional basis for some mental disorders. So they just start researching, what do you need for optimum mental health? And they end up coming up with this product eventually. Like, at first, they tried with over-the-counter other products, and they were actually managing people very well, but it wasn't consistent. So they ended up having to manufacture a product. And then people started coming to them. So they found themselves in the situation where now they have this business. They're actually losing money because they're spending so much time tracking people's symptoms because they're trying to learn. So if you went to them, you would have to agree to track your symptoms daily. Like literally they would phone you, and then they had a program you could log in online. And you'd have to do that for weeks and weeks before they'd even let you have the product. And then they'd transition you. And they learned to do this because if you were on the psychiatric drugs and you started taking the product, you would get really well quickly for about 2 weeks, and then your symptoms would start increasing. It wasn't that you were getting ill again. It was because the increase in vitamins and minerals in your system was now magnifying the effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And there was now a dance to get you off the pharmaceutical drugs. And they became world experts. In fact, the medical system said you could never get off Effexor. It was too addictive. Once you were on it, it was for life. That's not the wisdom anymore, because True Hope figured out how to wean people off Effexor. They're the world experts in weaning people off psychiatric drugs now. Literally, Harvard University, the psychiatrists there phone True Hope when they have questions. But at the beginning, they were just becoming experts in learning. And their clients, the people they were managing, you know, they're not going to be around in 5 years. They're being involuntarily committed to the psych wards. Like, that's who was coming to them for help. And they knew this is experimental. Like, yeah, we've helped this people and that people, and here's our database. And they knew they were the guinea pigs, so to speak. But all of the approved chemical drugs was a death sentence for them, and they didn't work. Shouldn't these people have the right to try something that isn't approved? But they can't if we don't allow stuff that isn't approved. Talking vitamins and minerals in that case. It's approved as a vitamin mineral supplement. You can go to your health food store and buy it.
Yeah, we also saw that with natokinase. We see it all the time. Like, people come in with blood sugar issues and the metformin, they have reactions to it, and yet they can do natural supplements and they manage their blood sugar. Another one is anxiety. They are managing their anxiety with natural health products. Cholesterol is another one. Statins have a ton of side effects to them, and people are managing their cholesterol with natural health products. Sleep is another one. And the list goes on and on and on as to the accomplishment of what these natural health products are doing. And for you to say that we're not going to have choice, something's wrong with the picture here.
Oh, no, something's seriously wrong. This is just exercise in corporatism. And economists call it rent seeking, where you basically, in stages, increase the regulatory burden to a point where the small and medium and even a number of the large companies are driven out of business because it's just become so expensive and so onerous to comply. The frog is being boiled slowly, and you shouldn't ever accept cost recovery. You won't have those innovative, effective products, and then we're not competing in an effective way with the pharmaceutical companies. Health Canada wages, most of them, the majority, come from the fees they charge the pharmaceutical industry. Can, you know, what was it Mr. Rogers would say? He'd say, can you say conflict of interest, boys and girls? I knew you could. So
now, depending on who you're reading, I've read anywhere from 71% to 77% of Canadians use a natural healthcare product. And if you move that money out of this part of the industry into the pharmaceutical industry, then profits are going to look pretty good for the shareholders.
I think it's even worse than that, because the reality is, you know, people will still be buying vitamins and minerals, although in, you know, smaller amounts that aren't necessarily therapeutic. You know, the other products won't be there, so you will be moved to the chemical drug model to be managing your health conditions, and they carry their own side effect and death profiles. And they're just so much more tremendously dangerous that this is, from a health perspective, but
yeah,
these aren't health decisions. These are economic and political decisions.
Right.
You're going to need more and more drugs to manage. You'll be on them for life. Like, that's the model, right, is just have chronic sickness. So you basically create a food supply that is not nutritious, so people suffer chronic illness. They can't manage the chronic illness effectively with natural products, so they manage the symptoms with the chemical products for life. That's the business model. It's not a health model. We just pretend it's a health model.
So the call to action: go to the nhppa.org, sign up for your newsletter,
and be watching our action page. Like, we are going to be coming out with campaigns with a vengeance. So first of all, appreciate, we're the last health freedom group on the natural product front left standing. because since Bill C-58 in 2008, Health Canada hasn't really threatened our industry. Health Freedom Group after Health Freedom Group after Health Freedom Group, they just went under. And we went into hibernation because we get zero funding when there's not a crisis. And it's just human psychology, right? So we went into hibernation where we hardly have done anything for years, except kind of keep people updated on the self-care framework. So when it came out in 2017, we wrote several papers, and then we updated them. But we weren't getting any funding, so we just kind of went into what's called hibernation. So now we're full-blown restructuring and getting going and asking people also to donate and fund us, because we need literally have a monthly budget. We're hiring people. So we're kind of taking it a bit on faith that people are going to get behind us and fund us, because my opinion is this is the last chance to see if we can get in a peaceful way, get Parliament to respond to citizen demands once again. And this is the test case. It's a great test case. And if we can't do it, then we're in a world of hurt. So we really have no choice. We have to take Parliament back. You know, we need to shut down the MPs' offices again, for example. Like in the Bill C-58 fight, me and another gentleman, Peter Helgeson at the NHPPA, we had a meeting at the Prime Minister's office in Ottawa. So we're being escorted out by Laurie Thronas, who was number two at the Ministry of Health at the time. And Peter says to Laurie Thronas, "Hey, Laurie, have you read Sean's discussion paper on Bill C-58? And he literally got mad. He got red in the face. And he explained that people were printing out my 25-page discussion paper. It was at least that long. Writing an angry letter, stapling the letter to the discussion paper, and mailing it to the Minister of Health. And they were getting so much such mail that wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of mail was coming in each day. It had to come in wheelbarrows. And it was shutting their office down. And we had MP after MP after MP telling us that never in their careers had any issue shut down their office where they couldn't function. Well, we have to do that again with a vengeance. We have the materials on our site to educate. So start with the discussion paper. We have a two-pager that condenses it so it's easy for you to understand. If you want to write your own letter, well, here are the talking points. Just pick some. Here's how you do it. If you don't want to write your own letter, we have a form letter there where you can add your own thoughts to it. If you don't even want to do that, we have the form letter and just print that off and put your name on it and your MP's name. Like we make it easier for you to write letters, but we need you meeting with your MP, and we need you phoning your MP, and we need you writing letters, and not just the MP, the Minister of Health, the Prime Minister's office, to every MP if you're willing to do it, and why not? And it can't be one letter. It's got to be at least two a month. Like it has to be consistent pressure. And we'll help you do it, but it's going to be uncomfortable. You won't want to meet with your MP. You're going to feel nervous. But, you know, we'll help you out with that. We've got instructions, and here's how you do it. And it doesn't matter. We're talking life and death. This is life and death. And you have to stand up now and be counted. This is the end game. This is the moment where your actions decide whether your grandchildren are going to be free or not. This is why you're here. You're here to decide. If you decide to sit it out, that has consequences. Your actions now are so meaningful that historians are going to write about them. It's kind of like, you know, the Second World War, where Churchill just became prime minister, and he was being pressured by his own cabinet and officials, you have to surrender. You have to negotiate a surrender, and he wouldn't. And he takes to the airwaves, and he says something like, if the British Empire lasts for 1,000 years, may they look back and say this was our final hour, and they stood up. And this is decision time. This is finest hour time for Canadians. Are we going to be a footnote in the history books? Yeah, the Canadians went down to a police state whimpering. Or are they going to look back and say the Canadians set an example for the world? Because for whatever reason, the world watches what Canada does. We're the touchstone. And I'm saying this is our finest hour.
I agree. Churchill took a stand. And we saw the outcome of that. He stood up to tyranny. He rallied those boats to evacuate those soldiers who were on the beaches.
Dunkirk.
Yep. They rallied for another day and they won. And there's most of us, and I'm going to say probably 99% of the listeners right now are not political people. I mean, we kind of live day to day and so on, and we're not political. But Solomon was a wise king, and he made a statement, there's a time to be silent. And then there's a time to speak. And writing that letter, picking up the phone, and calling your MP is a time to speak. I'm just one voice, but if we have 100,000 voices in Chatham-Kent doing the same thing.
And we need to organize in all 338 ridings. This is the end game. finances and thinking that others are going to do this. This is your last chance to see if we can have Parliament working for us again, for the citizens again. Are the institutions working for the citizen, or are they working for the government against the citizen? That's the choice. You need to be involved to sort out what it's going to look like for your grandchildren on the other end.
Sean, thank you for joining us on Insights for Health.
Well, thanks again for having me. I'm just so pleased to be here, Dave.
Very sobering. It's a critical time.
Yeah, and thank you, because again, this is so important.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Health. Please understand the gravity of what the federal government and Health Canada have done. Under the new law, parts of this interview and future shows will be censored and considered illegal for me to say. This isn't about a political party. It's about your individual health rights. If you use natural health products, take action and speak up. If you don't currently use natural health products, but want to in the future, you too should speak up, so your access to them will still be there. Perhaps in the future you'll require pharmaceuticals, but you won't like the side effects, and you would like to try a natural health product as an alternative. You will not have that choice. You too should speak up. At The Healthy Habit, we have 9 options for you to be heard, from as little as a signature on a petition to your own handwritten letter, and several options in between, whatever you're comfortable with, along with how to contact the NHPPA. So protect your rights. Let's take back our Parliament and make the government and Health Canada work for us and not against us.